Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I'm your host, Matt.
And I'm Cliff.
We're here. We did it. 3 weeks in a row.
It's true.
I'm excited.
With only a slight extra gap in between the second and third week because of scheduling.
Shut your dumb mouth. It's fine. We'll get there. Like, weekly works for now, let's say, instead of a particular day, because that is asking for failure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How are you, Cliff?
I'm all right. I've been playing games.
I don't believe you.
Trying something new.
That's ridiculous. No one's ever tried anything new, ever.
Nope.
What have you been
playing?
Not
how we discovered milk from cows.
Yeah.
No one decided, and you know what? I'm going to squeeze them cow boobs.
Anyway, what have you been playing?
I played a variety of games. So the first game that I've been playing is an older game now. It's not old in the grand scheme of things, but it's not a brand new game, whereas the other two are kind of brand new games. So I played Warhammer Vermintide 2.
I've seen that.
It had a free weekend a couple of weekends ago, and I have since bought it because it is great.
Nice.
If you don't know what that is, it is Left 4 Dead or Left 4 Dead 2, which is the same game, so whatever. But with actual like character progression, systems, power-ups, all that kind of junk, you level up your character. It's really, really fun. You are fighting against basically rats.
Okay.
That are trying to take over the world, I assume. I didn't really watch all the actual story content stuff for it. I just played it. But it's good fun. It's Warhammer, not Warhammer 40K. So it is, medieval, bows, arrows, swords, magic, that kind of shit.
Okay.
But it's if you like Left 4 Dead, you'll like Vermintide. The levels are a bit darker, which is a bit weird because even in Left 4 Dead, they were kind of dark. But yeah. It's really, really good, and the levels vary greatly in what you have to kind of do for an objective, but still within a theme of, you know, like, go here, you know, activate this, escape here. It's really, really good. It's what I wanted from a Left 4 Dead 3, where it's Left 4 Dead, but you actually get some sort of progression system going on, because once you've played all of Left 4 Dead 2 a few times, there's really not a lot there. You've played the game. You've beaten the game. There's nothing else.
Especially with those kind of squad-based games, I've never really understood going back to them. Like, new content is great or whatever, but it's still just the same game over and over again.
Yeah, and Left 4 Dead was pretty bad at that because it never had the ability to level up your characters, to get extra stuff. You start off on... it's geared towards working your way up difficulty levels as well. So Left 4 Dead... we could finish the highest difficulty level, any level, pretty easily with our friend group that would play it consistently without much trouble whatsoever. It's like, oh, okay, so, you know, you might get a tank here that's different or, hordes might, if you stay around and do nothing, hordes might come out of nowhere. But again, like, you knew exactly how the game played, you knew how to exploit the game. Vermintide 2 is a good expansion on it, so I'm hoping Left 4 Dead 3, if we ever get it, with Portal 3... And, I mean, let's not even entertain the fact we might get Half-Life 3. But if we get Left 4 Dead 3, I hope they put in some sort of progression system, make it a bit more dynamic. It's been a long time since Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2 came out. And Left 4 Dead 2 is, you could arguably say it's Left 4 Dead 1.5. So let's hope we get a more fleshed out game with more stuff in it that you can do. There are, like, the equivalent of loot boxes, but it's all earned in game by doing things. So like, you know, you XP up, you do objectives, you get a loot box at the end of the game, and depending on how well you did and what you collected during the level, it will upgrade the level of the loot box as well.
Okay.
So if you do really, really well, you get like a top tier box, you got more chance of getting like sweet items out of it. But as far as I can tell, you don't purchase them. It's just like a thing in the game. As you go along, you get random drops. Which is cool, because I like that style of loot box. I don't like loot boxes that you have to buy to win.
Yeah, having the option there is always problematic, because the people who can throw money at that kind of thing will throw money at that kind of thing.
And it sets up a big disparity as well. between
exactly
them, yeah. It's not good. It's not as bad in co-op games, but in direct competitive games, it's horrible. It's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. That's why I don't play them.
That's why I play them with friends.
That's another alternative, I suppose. Cool. What else have you been playing?
Well, I also played... I was lucky enough from the great people at Devolver Digital. They shot me a Scum code so I could play some Scum.
Yes. I organized that and I don't know what Scum is.
I said, Matt, can you get me a code for that game? Because it looked great. And then a code appeared. And thank you very much to the people at Devolver Digital. It's good. It's real good. I haven't played it a great amount, but only because it's pretty overwhelming when you first sort of open up the game. Have you seen anything about it at all?
I saw a title of an article which was called, like, learning how to poop in Scum is one of the greatest joys.
I pooped the other day in Scum. And it does a little animation. I'll explain sort of why you need to poop. But it has a little animation where it looks like it's taking down your pants. It doesn't actually take your pants off, but it does the animation. And then you kind of squat, and then 3D poop appears from where your butt is and falls onto the ground. And you poop.
Fantastic. It does that in Ark as well, though. You poop.
It does.
Like, you poop automatically in that game.
Yeah. From as I understand it, in Scum, if you don't poop, you'll poop your pants.
Nice.
And pee your pants if you don't pee either. And I went to pee... I went to pee because, you know, it said, like, you need to urinate. I'm like, that's fair enough. I drank a lot of liquid in the last, hour or two. And I went to pee and I'm like, wait a minute. In the normal game, if you hold Alt and move your mouse around, you can rotate around your character and view the front of it. Like, can you do this while you're peeing or pooping? No, you can't. Your character slides around so your back is always to camera.
Okay, that's very considerate.
Yeah. But the reason you need to pee or poop is the game is hardcore when it comes to your vital statistics. You have to monitor everything. Right now, can you tell me how many teeth you've got?
Isn't it like 37? 38? It'd be an even number.
I think it's supposed to be less than that. I think it's like low 30s. In the game, anyway, you have 32 teeth, and it says 32 of 32.
Okay, so you can lose teeth.
Oh, yeah. You can also monitor it has your heart rate, how many breaths per minute, a bunch of other stuff. I'm going to try and find a screenshot while I'm talking to show you what it is.
Okay.
Metabolism, I think it's called. But it has everything. You got to track how many minerals and vitamins and stuff you're getting. Okay, here we go. The article I've brought up. Scum is so detailed, you need to choose when to shit.
Yep.
Yeah. But you track all kinds of things. What else do you track in here? You track your... I didn't even know what half those meters are. Oh, your body temperature. That's pretty standard, though, in survival games. It's a survival game, right? It's DayZ, but way better. You see how much protein, how many carbs, how much fat, how much fiber, how much water, how much sugar, how much saturated fat, and how much sodium you intake.
This just seems like more work than I put into monitoring my intake in real life.
Oh, for real, it does. And it shows your stomach volume, your intestine volume, your colon volume, and your bladder volume. And it will show how when you eat something, it'll show that going through your digestive system, and it will, like, slow release. Like, you'll get energy out of it at a rate that you've eaten something. So let me send you this screenshot now so you can have a look.
Okay.
But there's all kinds of crazy shit. So yeah, there's teeth, your body temperature, like I said, that's pretty normal. When you make your character at the start of the game, you can make a giant big, you can make a big fat guy, you make a tiny, like a really, really like abnormally skinny guy. Christian Bale from The Machinist, skinny.
Gross.
Yep. And the amount of points you can assign kind of depends on your age. So as you click your age from, like, I guess, 18 or whatever the youngest age is, up to sort of 50 or 60, you get a sort of default amount of things, and it changes so that you might be stronger and faster, or stronger at one point, and then as you get older, you might get faster for a little bit and less strong, and then it changes as over time. So I'm assuming they're like, this is what the human body does in general.
Yeah.
And So you get to you have to assign it based on your age. It's pretty hardcore. There's something like what one.
Yeah, it looks it. That is a lot of fucking stats. There's like
14 or 15 different vitamins you have to monitor and what percentage you're at. You got to be careful of what you eat to make sure you're not eating all too much of one thing. I'm
definitely not careful in my real life. I don't know why they'd expect me to do it in a game.
I was drinking soda, but somehow my sugar level didn't go up, so it must have been zero sugar
soda. There you go. It was coconut sugar. Yeah,
really getcha. Mm. That screen's pretty hardcore, right?
That's too much.
Yeah, it was a lot. So I'm figuring that out now, like how it kind of all works and stuff like that. So I'm balancing stuff. And I've learned how the crafting system works too, because it doesn't seem as easy. A lot of things have multiple crafting variants. So you can see, you want to make a campfire. I'll use this example. When you click on the campfire thing, it says you need sticks. Fair enough. You need to make a little teepee of sticks to make stuff, to get the fire going. And then it had like brake oil. Like, why the fuck do you need brake oil to light a fire?
Lighter fluid?
But it specifically says brake fluid. But why like specifically that? Like, surely you can use a bit of paper or some scraps, some rags. It turns out there's tiny little icons on there that allow you to click next or previous in the different things that will replace that slot. So you need one of the things from that slot. So sticks and one of. And it's not super easy to see that to start with.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They've obviously packed the screen real estate just a little bit.
Yeah. So it the learning curve is pretty decent. But when you get into the game, it's pretty good. The shooting in it is pretty good that I found.
Mm-hmm.
It is a zombie apocalypse style game, which is nothing particularly new. But the level of monitoring of your stuff is way past anything that's come out. It runs really well. Admittedly, I'm running a NVIDIA 1080, so it's pretty serious. That's a good one. Yeah, it's a pretty serious video card, but it runs really well on my computer. I found a military base. So I was running around in there, and initially when I first was playing it, it has these big like mech-like auto robots that are patrolling around.
Right, yep.
And they would see me, because it seems like the apocalypse happened, but no one turned them off. Once it happened.
Okay.
So they're still just wandering around doing their like automated thing. And they would tell me to stop and leave the area to start with. But now when they see me, they just start shooting at me. And they're all very red, lighty and angry. Which is okay because you can still sneak around. It's quite fun. You need to pick up a bunch of clothes and stuff to get extra slots. Pretty much everything has slots. I've got a couple of slots in my boots to put a knife in and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really good. There's just so much to it that it is pretty tough to start, and you need to actually. I just said, okay, fuck this. I want to learn how this nutrition thing works, and I want to learn how to actually like properly craft stuff, because the initial crafting isn't. It looks like you can pick up a bunch of cool stuff, but you can only really craft like Stone Age tools. It looks like, which kind of makes sense because you don't exactly you know unless you're an engineer or a blacksmith, you might not be able to make precision equipment.
Yeah, you don't know how to craft a microwave.
Exactly.
But, like, a rock tied to a stick to make a hammer is pretty easy.
But I shot a pig with an AK-47, I took a bunch of his meat, and I stuck it on a stick and put it over a fire, and I was a well-fed boy.
There you go.
Yeah.
It was a happy ending.
Yeah, it's really fun. I want to play it a lot more. I'm playing single player at the moment because I kind of heard a bit about the game before I started playing, and I thought, maybe I'll go single to start with. So I have the time and the ability to do things and not get killed instantly by people roaming around the world.
That's fair, yeah.
Yeah. But at some point, I'd like a couple of my other friends who played this kind of game before, like played a lot of DayZ and stuff like that. I've been talking this game up because it is a more complete DayZ. There's also multiplayer events you can compete in and stuff.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. I don't really know how the fame points work. You need a certain amount of fame points to get in. And I think fame points are just like surviving for an amount of time, killing zombies. There's certain things. So I haven't really figured that bit out yet. But you can just go and do like a death match, it looks like, or compete in a world event, which DayZ doesn't have any of that world event kind of stuff. Not really. It's kind of there, but it's not really a world event. So it'd be good to get a few mates and go and do it.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to talk it up and get my mates to be like, dude, this is good. Scum's good. It's like DayZ, but what they promised instead of what they delivered.
There you go.
Hmm.
Well, I haven't been playing that.
It is not your game in any way.
No, just looking at the screenshot alone, a single screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen a trailer for this because when you mentioned giant robots, I was like, oh yeah, I think I've seen something like that. And the little plug thing on the back of the guy's head.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I'm not playing this game.
No, I wouldn't expect you to.
Yeah, but you know what I have been playing?
DayZ.
Close. Spider-Man.
I've seen a bit of this. It looks pretty fun.
It's so good. Like, one of the major points that kept coming up in, like, preview coverage and stuff is, like, it's the best Spider-Man, like, web-swinging game since Spider-Man 2, possibly better. And it is. Spider-Man 2, despite being a movie tie-in game, was quite good because the web-swinging was actually based on physics instead of all the previous games where you just sort of shot webs up and they assumably attached to the skybox of the game because it made no difference if you were next to a building or not. You could just do it. So Spider-Man 2 was based on you could only swing when there was buildings. And you had like a separate shooter, I think, for left and right hand. So you'd actually have to swing, which was very cool at the time.
Mm-hmm.
This one, it's a little bit simplified. You just have the one swinging kind of parkour-y button like the Assassin's Creed games. But that's for basic traversal, and then you can like boost jump and all this other kind of fancy stuff to move faster or more interestingly. But damn, it's fun.
It looks really satisfying. I haven't played it because I don't own a PS4. Oh, yeah. But it looks really satisfying when someone does like a full swing and they get the full like boost up and flip up when you flick up at the end. Like, it looks really satisfying.
Yeah, it's something I didn't sort of clue to straight away. Like, you have three basic traversal things. The basic web swing, where you hold down the R2 trigger, which just sort of swings, you let go, he releases it, then you press it again, he swings again. That's it. Then you've got the kind of web zip, where he attaches to something in front of him and just you pull it, and it gives you kind of a directly horizontal movement. So you get one of those, you can upgrade to get two. So if, you know, you've got to cross a gap or something, you can get across it more easily. And then you can also sort of target specific objects in the environment, zip to them, and then there's a skill you can get where you can then boost off them so you don't lose momentum. So combining those three along with like a dodge gives you a lot of options, but even though it's three basic mechanics, they've created a lot of different animations for him. So when he comes to the peak of a jump, it's not always going to be the exact same sort of animation loop, which means you always look like you are styling the fuck out of it. And yeah, when you do little boost moves, like you press the web zip button at the top of a swing, you sort of launch off at speed, which means even though it says, you know, your goal destination is 1500 meters away, which sounds like a lot, you can get across that real fast.
One thing I will say about the swinging is it does give you some interesting angles at which you're swinging at. Like, it's still not quite, like, you don't get a... What's the right way to put it? When you attach some, like a string, a pendulum to a point, you swing in like an arc around that point. You don't swing in an arc around that point. You just kind of swing straight while attached to that point in the game. So it,
oh no, you on can some angle.
Angles, but not on some angles, like it does not look natural the way you're swinging. You it swing straight doesn't. And you're on like a side angle and you should not be moving in that direction.
Yeah. There's obviously some concessions for gameplay versus physics.
Yeah.
But for the most part, in the context of superhero movement, it feels real good. Yeah, I also, dropping into the water at any point is a fucking nightmare because he can't swim. Like, he doesn't drown instantly, but he doesn't move quickly at all. So you have to sort of zip yourself out of it. And the few times I've had to do things on the waterfront for missions or whatever, I'm just like, ugh, don't want to drop in the water. Gross.
Don't they know that Sydney funnel webs can notoriously sit at the bottom of a pool for like a million years and you can still get bitten by them even though they've been underwater for like 3 days?
Clearly not. They should know better.
Also, spiders are bullshit, by the way.
I fucking hate them. I hate spiders. I love Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I really have been enjoying it because they've got their own timeline. They're not adhering to any existing canon. So the look of the villains, the kind of backstory of all is a bit different. Apparently there's a lot of clues that it's leading into a sequel towards the end, and it has after credit scenes, which I think is adorable. I haven't gotten to them yet. There is one villain who has not been revealed to even be a presence in the game in any of the marketing material, so I won't spoil that, but it's kind of signposted very early on in the game, and you get to see kind of an evolution of it. So if you're a person who knows Spider-Man canon at all, you're going to find a lot to love. And
you can cut this out in case it does spoil anything, but do we get Venom and Carnage?
To the point that I've been playing at this point, there's been no mention of symbiotes.
Right, okay.
I haven't finished the game, though.
Right.
It could be something leading into with a sequel. I honestly don't know.
I mean, if the game is that good, and you just sort of like, this is kind of like a test to see if we can make a good Spider-Man game.
Mm. Oh, they
like,
can.
Yeah, like 100%, let's go nuts with Venom and Carnage next game.
Yeah, that would be fun. Like, it's like, I like the cross-section because, you know, across the movies, we had a thing where it was always the Goblin, always the fucking Goblin. Like, Norman Osborn is in this. Like, that's known because he's the mayor of New York City.
You can't make a game without having, like, the Goblin. Like, he's the iconic hero. And with games that big, you can, like, have him in it, even if it's just, like, a little bit. You don't have to have the game all about him, but you certainly have to, like, include him because you have to include, like, all the villains you can in some capacity.
Yeah, I think one of the major advantages with this one is that it's not an origin story, thank fuck. It is set 8 years into his career. His villains, his rogues gallery, are for the most part established. The ones that don't appear, you see references. Like at one point, there's a little side mission where someone thanks him for helping them, like save him from a burning building or something. He's like, I didn't do that. And he's like, oh no, the chameleon might be running around impersonating me again. So obviously little touches to say, oh yeah, like we've got stuff going on and you've got Avengers Tower based on the movie look and all that kind of stuff. Also he and Mary Jane are on the outs at the start, which is interesting. And Miles Morales is there, which is the single greatest thing that's happened in any video game ever. He had better be a Spidered Man at some point very soon because I want that. Also, there's unlockable costumes, and there's a lot of interesting ones that have not been done before, because you always had the same kind of cross-section of costumes in these games. You know, you had the Iron Spider from Civil War, you had the symbiote suit, you had... The one that they kept coming back to was Mystery Man, which was from some random Spidey comic where his costume got destroyed, so he had to swing home from the Fantastic Four building in like a Fantastic Four jumpsuit and a paper bag over his head. I remember that being in a couple of games, but not here. They do have a lot of stuff from recent comics, which I'm really enjoying. I don't want to spoil too many of them because I kind of enjoy seeing this stuff turn up and having it be a surprise. So I guess the pre-ordery ones that they revealed that you just sort of unlock early instead of earning them in game, Spider-Punk, which is awesome. There's the costume from the recent Spider-Man film, Homecoming, and the Iron Spider version from Avengers Infinity War. And I will spoil one because I want to talk about something that isn't in all of the trailers. You do unlock the version of his costume, which was the armored spider suit from the recent Amazing Spider-Man run when he was the head of Parker Industries and had the glowing green spider on the front, which looks really cool because it's the same basic costume look, but it's all metal plating sheets, so mm-hmm. It's very reflective and interesting.
It looks, like the current DC movie universe where, like, all their, like, the Flash has got his armor suit instead of just, like, a suit. Yeah. That kind of aesthetic.
Yeah. It's kind of plated. It looks metallic. And it's really nice that they've got all these varieties of costumes because every costume comes with its own unique ability. You know, like, you fill a bar, you get to use the ability. So the one that comes with the default costume at the start of the game, the white spider that you see in all the marketing materials, that one has a thing which lets you fill your focus bar, which is how you use like special finishes and heal yourself. But when you get his like classic comic look, which has been in trailers as well, so I don't feel bad about spoiling that. The power for that one is basically an area of effect spin where he shoots a bunch of webs everywhere and it can hit a bunch of enemies, which is real good for clearing out a fight in like 2 seconds flat. I fucking love it.
For people who aren't aware of what the gameplay is like, think if you've played the games, the Arkham games, it's a lot like
Spider
that.
Arkham. Yeah. It's fantastic. I'm really enjoying it. I haven't finished it yet. I will have to very soon because Shadow of the Tomb Raider comes out in like 2 days at time of recording, and I need to be done doing whatever a spider can in time for that so I can raid some tombs. It's a busy life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I've also been playing Dragon Quest XI, which came out last week. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much to the publisher for sending a copy over, because it surprised me. It snuck up on me. I had forgotten that it had gotten an English release date even at one point. It's Dragon Quest. It's very good. I'm still digging into it because I only had a few days before Spider-Man. It's very pretty. It looks like Dragon Ball come to life because it's Akira Toriyama's art. But it's still a classic RPG at the same time. But I'm enjoying it.
I've never played a Dragon Quest game.
Yeah. They're not quite as accessible as your Final Fantasies, I would say. But it has its merits, and I'm just enjoying it. It's very pretty. Like, one of my favorite things is, obviously, the old school games, it was all, you know, 2D sprite art for battles and stuff. And you have the classic recurring enemies that turn up in every Dragon Quest game. The slime, the hammer dudes, and a bunch of other ones that always were represented in the same pose. So when they're animated in 3D in this game, they have their, like, thing that they do when they get introduced in a battle, but then the default pose they assume is the one you're used to. So that's a cute little touch, just to kind of give the nod to all the games that have come before. Yeah, that's what I've been playing.
I was going to say, I've been playing one more game.
Oh, yes, go.
I played it over the weekend because there was an open beta. I played Battlefield 5.
Oh, yeah, that's a game that exists.
Yeah. It plays really, really well. I enjoyed playing it. But I'm going to cliff it up here for a second.
Here we go.
Yep. All right. So playing the game, doing things, wanted to know, you know, like there's a few different classes, 4 or 5, I think, and as there are in these type of games, and, you know, they have different weapons. So you have the sniper, the assault guy, the support medic, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Pretty standard stuff. I was like, okay, cool. I'm a support guy. I can build things. How do I actually build a thing? So I didn't know how. There was no thing indication on the screen how to do it. So I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. I will go and check the key bindings to find out. So press escape as you do. Options. Controls. Looking at it. Where can I even change the key binds in this game? Like, what the hell? How do I change key binds? And then, you know, because I was on Discord with some mates at the time. I was like, yeah, you can do it. I'm like, where? It's like, under key binds. I'm like, there is no option for key binds. I'm in the control section. Oh, it's not in the control section. Why the fuck would the key bind section be not in the control section? So when you bring up the options, right? When you bring up the options, there's a bunch of panels across the screen. Right? There's 4 or 5 of them across the screen. The first one is controls. So I think I hit escape. I look at the first option, controls. Hit on it. Keybinds, if you want to go to it, is the last one on the other side of the screen. Past audio, past video. Keybinds by itself on the other side. It's not a tab under controls like a fucking normal person would put it.
Like literally every game that's ever been invented.
It's in its own panel at the end of the screen. So that pissed me off because I'm a massive snob when it comes to like shitty UIs in games.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the only problem. There were more problems. So,
oh dear.
You can create loadouts. Again, something that's not a particularly new concept at all. It's been around for a while. You can customize your weapon, and then when you're in game, you can go, I want that loadout. That's my thing. That's the weapon I want. It's got the right attachments on it, all that kind of shit. And you can get cosmetic upgrades, and you can get actual upgrades that do things. So like scopes, extended magazines, all that kind of shit, right? Standard stuff that's in every game. Now, there's a section called Armory. Cool. That seems to make sense. You go into the Armory. On the main screen, the Armory, there's 4 options on the screen, or 4 or 5 options again on the screen. It's like, you know, like play or whatever. Armory. There's another thing that I can never remember the name of, which I'll get to in a second. It's related to the Armory. That's why I'll get to it.
The Leggery.
Yeah. And then there's like another, there's one other thing, and then there's a more option. So, okay, what's the more? There's got to be some more stuff here, right? I click on, there's 2 more options. You click a button to show 2 more things. So you're using one bit of space on the screen to then be able to show 2 things on the screen. Why not just show the 2 fucking things on the screen?
Oh,
right?
This doesn't sound like the game has a very good UI in general.
It's not good. So this still is not the end of these UI woes here. So there's that. It's like, well, sure, cool. You want to be trendy, and there's plenty of, let me state this just to be sure. There's plenty of real estate on the screen that isn't used up by these options, right?
Yeah.
So there's plenty of room to put the two extra options on the screen. So you go to the armory, right? And in the armory, there's an option to, you can look at the different classes. The different classes don't have different icons. They all have the same icon.
Yeah.
Because why would you want to have a picture representation of the class in the game when you're playing? It has different icons. Not in the armory, awesome, where you choose them. Why would you want such a thing? And you click in that, and then you can kind of, it looks like you can pick visual upgrades, right?
Yeah.
So you can change the color of the stock of the gun and the clip in the gun and the bit you hold at the front, you know, the front grip where you put your front hand or whatever. Mm. Do all that. And it's like, okay, cool. Do I actually get my upgrades here? How do I upgrade my weapons? Because it all looks cosmetic. And it's like, okay, but there's also a purchase weapon option. What does that do? So hit purchase weapon, 0 credits it costs. You earn in-game credits like all other games, so you can buy it and unlock shit, right? Purchase weapon, 0 credits, purchase, done. Nothing happens. What did I even just purchase? I hit it another like bunch of times. I'm just trying to work out what happened. Nothing on the screen changes. No, when you hit that button, it adds something to a completely separate section that you got to go to. And that separate section is where you actually like view all the weapon stats and view the upgrades and then select them into your loadouts. When you hit the purchase button, it adds another loadout slot for that weapon so that when you select your class, that weapon is there. You can then select from the loadouts on that weapon, which is cool. But why the fuck do you even have the armory in a separate section when you do all the work from this other section anyway? Why not just include it in the same bit?
I hate this.
And again, plenty of real estate on the screen to do this. It's really, really bad. But the gameplay was good. I enjoyed it. It was a fun game. It's just fucking infuriating to do anything in the game because they don't tell you how to do anything. They don't tell you what anything does. It's just there in all these weird spots.
You know what? I was on the fence between not playing this game and definitely not playing this game. And now I'm absolutely not going to play it based on this information.
It's not nice. I mean, I'm assuming that it's... I think someone that I was playing with said, oh, it's like this for all Battlefield games. Not a fucking excuse.
It's always been bad is not a good enough excuse for anything.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's think back and let's use some, like, hyperbole here. But we've always had slaves. Why should we not have slaves anymore?
Oh, but no, Cliff, we can't jump straight to slaves.
Why not?
Now.
Hey, I skipped past Hitler, to be fair. That's the common internet go-to. But it's one of those things, like, just because it's been like that doesn't mean it shouldn't be changed because it's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
No,
and that's
bad.
Why we should change the topic. Cause
but it plays well. I really like playing the game. I just fucking hate everything you got to do when you're not actually playing the game.
The guns shoot?
The guns shoot very well. It took me a while to get used to how bullet drop apparently works but doesn't work. It was a bit weird to start with. But it, you know, it's a fun game. And the maps are really quality. But the maps suffer from a specific form, a specific thing that you can't help with that map design is that they're so big and so expansive that there's always a chance that someone's going to run from one side of the map all the way around to the back end of the other one and then just snipe you from behind and you've never got a spot where you're fully undercover. You can just get shot and not know it.
Gross.
But that's just because the map is so big and there's so many objectives and stuff around the map and there's so many people in the map that's a problem that you can't fix.
Fair.
Yeah. But it's a good game. I enjoyed it. It was really fun.
Nice. I read something last week. I read a thing that came in a book.
Not the book itself, but a thing that came in the book.
Yep, exactly.
Did you read the wine vouchers you get from Book Depository?
No. I did get my own player's handbook for D&D, though.
Oh, nice.
I finally own one. I'm a real person. No, I got the Adventure Zone graphic novel, and it's very good.
I do want to get that.
Yeah, it's solid. It's the first arc of the podcast. It's very well drawn, very entertaining. Some interesting little tweaks there to make because obviously copyright stuff for official Wizards of the Coast properties. Some names have changed and they've streamlined the story a little. But it's good and it says at the end to be continued. in Murder on the Rockport Limited, so obviously they're going to keep going, and that made me very happy.
Awesome. But yeah, I hope they do get on that, because I do want to pick them up, because the Adventure Zone is great. And I can understand why they would want to streamline a bit, because you can't compress that many hours into a graphic novel. You just can't.
Yeah, I mean, even for that first arc, it's a pretty meaty book, so I look forward to seeing how big they get if they ever make it to the very end, because God help us.
They could be very interesting for the 100 years.
Yes.
Bit. That would be very cool, I think.
Yeah, let's do all 100 years. So Adventure Zone book, very good. I also watched the end of Adventure Time, which has officially ended now.
I read about it. People are happy, apparently.
Yeah, the ending... the creator said it wasn't necessarily a happy ending, and I didn't understand that until I watched it. Like, it's not like you see everyone skip off into the sunset. You do kind of get some closure on all of the main characters.
I heard it was like a bittersweet thing, like a very kind of...
It is, yeah.
It's an end, but also a beginning.
Yes. The finale... So, I don't know how much you follow Adventure Time.
I got to about season 5, and then just other things got in the way.
Yeah, so they had an arc through this final 10th season, I think it is, where Princess Bubblegum and her uncle, Gumbald, were going to go to war, and this conflict kept escalating and all this kind of stuff. And then the finale is like 4 episodes in one, and it's kind of a framing device set in the far distant future of Ooh, where they're looking back on the Gumball War. Or Gum War?
Characters that are designed in a very specific way to possibly be related to characters in the contemporary, isn't it?
Yes, they kind of look like equivalents of Finn and Jake. Beth and Shermie.
Yeah.
One of which is voiced by Willow Smith. So that's interesting. I was just like, that voice is... person. Yeah, so it's good. The most important thing is the thing that got spoiled for me very early on, so...
I mean, it was all over the internet. I know what you're going to say.
100%. Yeah. If you're spoiler sensitive and you've somehow managed to avoid this, A, congratulations. B, ignore the next, let's say 30 seconds of the podcast. Skip ahead. Just a little jumpy jump. Here comes the spoilers. 3, 2, 1, go! Marceline the Vampire Queen and Princess Bubblegum kiss and end up in a romantic relationship, which... is A, required for the show to end positively in any way, in my opinion, and also a really good move on Cartoon Network's part. Like, that's some active LGBT inclusion.
No, it's not gay. She's a gumball.
Cliff, don't. Don't do this.
It's vampire on candy action.
Yeah, it was really nice because, I mean, looking back, you had Legend of Korra, where they had an ending where they held hands, the implication being they got together, but they couldn't show it on screen. This was in 2015, I think, was when Korra ended. A couple of years ago now. But like background characters have been shown as queer in things like the show that I'm trying to think of. You know the one. Star. Princess Star. I don't remember. It's got Star in the name. She's a princess and there's gay neighbors. But yeah, this is
I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
You have
described it the worst.
It's like a 4 seasons show or something. I can't remember what it's called. I watched a little bit of it. But yeah, this is like active inclusion and I really like it. I did see a cute little anecdote, which was apparently when they were storyboarding the finale, at this point in the episode, it just said, Bubblegum and Marceline share a moment, and they left it to the artist to kind of interpret it. But apparently one of the storyboarders then added a note at that point in the script that just said, come on. And I was like, yes. So yeah, I'm really happy with that.
Apparently it all, more spoilers. So stop listening, 3, 2, 1, go. It played out like a kind of Marceline sees her or believes her to be dead.
Yes.
Goes kind of nuts, like really, really like gets into the battle and goes crazy and then realizes she's not. And that's when they share the moment. Apparently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Bubblegum gets taken down by one of the baddies in the finale, and yes, Marceline loses her shit and turns into a big giant demon and wrecks the bad guys and then does the cradling, the lost loved one thing, and then she's fine, and then they have an emotional moment of talking about their feelings, and then they smooch. And then at the end of the finale, they're sitting on the couch together watching horror movies, which is very cute.
It's also with a very Adventure Time kind of thing to do.
Mugs of cocoa and a blanket across them while Peppermint Butler is sitting at their feet reading a book on dark magic. So, you know, there's a lot going on in that finale. I didn't realize how much backstory they were going to bring in, because a lot of what happened in that finale, I didn't understand what they were referencing. I read a synopsis afterwards and was like, oh, yeah, they made a lot of references back to like 10 seasons of a show. So, yeah, it's an end of an era.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to seeing what Penn Ward does next, because that's been a moderately successful first television show for him.
Yeah, a few people know about it and love it.
Yeah, a little bit. So that was cool. All I've got left is some news, but it's only like three things. Do you want to blast through it really quickly?
I thought of something else before that happened as well, but I can't think of it right now.
Okay,
you go, I'll remember.
Okay. It's really not a lot to talk about. Iron Fist Season 2 came out.
Watched the first episode and a half. It's good so far.
It came out, so I decided to start watching Luke Cage Season 2. So I'll catch up with it later. Which is also good. Yes.
And has the new and improved Danny Rand in it too.
I just got to that episode, which he does seem chill already. So hopefully that, combined with better fight choreography, will mean good things for Iron Fist Season 2.
Also, I'm really intrigued, not just because I like the Alice Eve, but I'm really intrigued with Typhlloyd Mary so far.
Yeah, I didn't even realize she was in the season. That's an interesting inclusion, because she's not an Iron Fist villain.
No. I don't know. I don't know
she's
a lot
like
of her
an
story.
She's X-Men villain, isn't she?
I associate her with Deadpool a lot. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, actually. Yeah. She is kind of in that crew with Domino and all those kind of characters.
That's the problem with Marvel. Like, they're all into each other in Marvel.
Crossing
like,
over all over the place.
But in my mind, Typhoid Mary is tied with Deadpool a lot.
Yeah. Actually, just on the note of crossovers, there's a lot of those little moments in Spider-Man. So it's nice. They're kind of hinting at the greater Marvel universe. Like, you go around taking photos of landmarks in New York City to earn like skill tokens to upgrade stuff. And one of the locations is the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty cool.
So it's got the big window. It's on Bleecker Street, all that kind of stuff. He takes a photo and he's like, I don't know why, but I've always thought there's something strange going on in that house.
Hmm.
Nice. Which is
I would also accept
cute.
A wizard reference.
Yes. And there was another one that'll come to me in a minute.
I saw someone took a selfie over Ben Parker's grave.
Oh,
giving
shit,
like the peace
amazing.
Sign, because you can, I think you can pose him.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, so he's posing over the thing like selfie, like peace over Ben Parker's grave. Very, very
that's
funny.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh god. Oh, that's right. One of the collectibles is backpacks. Like you find his high school backpacks stuck to walls all over the place, and everyone has like a piece of memorabilia in it. One of them is a business card from Matthew Murdock.
Oh, nice.
He's like, oh, this is the business card I got from that lawyer when Jamison was trying to get me in trouble. He said he'd represent me if I ever needed it. Hang on. How did he know I was Spider-Man?
Cute. I did, when the backpacks first showed up in the footage I watched of some guys playing it, they did make a pretty funny comment. You kind of get like upgrades and new stuff from the old shit you left lying around.
Yeah.
So it's kind
that
of,
happens a lot in the game.
It's kind of funny that it's like, yeah, you can get some sweet new equipment that's actually like 8 or 10 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of them is like, oh, I forgot about this like new concept that I was working on. Why didn't I ever finish it? I'll do that now. Upgrade achieved.
And like, because you activate the towers and the towers like put the dots all over the map.
Yeah.
And they're just like, how many fucking backpacks did he go through? Is he the only person buying backpacks in New York? Like, no wonder he's poor. He had to buy backpacks. No,
they actually explain that away. Because I think there's something like, between 30 and 50 backpacks total kind of scattered across the map. And one of the things you find is the trophy he got for winning the Wilson Fisk science competition.
Hmm.
And he sort of makes references like, oh, I refuse to accept the money because I wouldn't take it from Fisk. But the lifetime supply of backpacks came in handy.
Nice.
So cute. Anyway, Iron Fist is out. Yep.
It's pretty good so far. They fixed Danny Rand.
Soon. Oh, thank Christ. So that came out. The other thing in Marvel news, screenshots for Captain Marvel, including her full costume and Skrulls, aka Piccolo from the Dragon Ball movie.
The Skrulls look good.
The Skrulls do look good.
Lady Marvel looks good.
Captain Marvel, she looks solid.
Needs more sweet Lady Mohawk.
Needs more space Mohawk, yes. Mm-hmm. So hopefully either at some point they show her with that cool Mohawk helmet she had in the comics, or...
Maybe she busted out for Infinity War.
Or maybe she's had a makeover by Infinity War, yeah. That would be good.
But I saw someone post like the pictures on Facebook, and they tagged someone else in it and said, like, the pictures are out, like, blah, confirmed. Like, they said something like, Skrulls confirmed, Coulson and Fury confirmed. I'm like, this isn't a new thing. Like, they didn't...
Yeah,
the picture of the Skrulls didn't confirm the Skrulls. We knew the Skrulls were in it from way back.
They kind of... Oh, no, she gets her power from the Kree, not the Skrulls, but it was as part of the Kree-Skrull Wars.
Well, they said that, yeah, like, it's going to involve the Skrulls, like, ages, months and months and months ago. So we knew that. So I did laugh when this person confirmed that these things were confirmed, even though they have been confirmed for a long time.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of characters coming back from previous things, like Ronan the Accuser, Karath, like Fury and all that. I also like that one of her Air Force pilot friends is Maria Rambo, aka Monica Rambeau's mum, aka Monica Rambeau, the other Captain Marvel. And Maria goes by Photon, which I think is also one of the names that Monica goes by at some point in her career. So yeah, lots of little touches there. And lots of terrible Kree names, which are always good, like Marvel, Minerva, Atlas.
Yeah,
I was about to say,
yeah, they're all like, well, what a crazy coincidence that these people's names happen to spell out like words that are in English.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's still next year. We'll get there eventually. But it looks good.
No, I look forward to it.
I'm excited.
No, she looks real good.
The other bit of comics and fiction-related casting that I saw was that they've cast Geralt of Rivia for the Witcher Netflix series.
Yep, I did see that.
And it's Henry Cavill. Not who I would have thought. But, you know, if you need a man with a square jaw and the ability to sound like he really doesn't give a shit, then Henry Cavill's a solid choice.
I mean, I like Henry Cavill. I think he's good.
I do. I feel maybe it's partly because of how he plays Superman. He just seems like he doesn't give a shit.
I think he's been not utilized to the best of his ability in the Superman movies. That said, I like Man of Steel. I thought Man of Steel was good.
Man of Steel was solid.
Man of Steel is a modern Superman. It's not the like 60s ideal version of like a perfect being that needs to unite America. It's a more modern telling of Superman.
I am looking forward to seeing him done up in, you know, silver hair, cat eyes, covered in scars. He'll also have to lose a bunch of mass because Geralt is very kind of lean muscle dude. Like, they made a big deal of it in Witcher 3 because it's like, oh, he's designed to be like appealing to women. How dare they? Yeah, all right.
I mean, it's TV. They can do whatever they want, really.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter how buff or not he is, so.
If they recreate the intro of Witcher 3. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
If they recreate the bathtub scene from the start of Witcher 3, no one will complain.
Hopefully they recreate the scene where he tries to bang like three chicks at once and they all like throw wine in his face.
Well, yes, Yennefer and Triss are both cast in the show, and Ciri's there as well, so it might be an early addition because Ciri is a young girl, not his adult daughter. Yeah, that I think that's next year as well, so...
Cool. Mm. I mean, we'll see. These days I take announcements about, you know, beloved franchises with a grain of salt because, flip a coin... They could be shit or good.
What will happen.
Unless it's made by Marvel, then it's pretty certain that it's going to be okay at best. Worst, sorry. So, yeah. I haven't thought of that other thing that I remembered had happened.
That's unfortunate. That means the episode's over.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So, thank you for listening to your, we can actually say it now, weekly dose of The Indoorsman, which is as... always, when it comes out, your podcast guide to the great indoors.
Podcast arrives always on time. It is never late.
Yep.
It's the rest of the world that's crazy, not us.
Yep.
I was going to say, I thought you had something for that.
Nope.
No? Okay, cool. If you like our opening and closing music, it is Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocky W. Bandcamp, Google, you know the deal. Go, find, listen. It's good stuff. Chiptune music.
Do the thing. Hmm. You can find us online at endorsementpodcast.com, The Endorsement on Facebook, or at EndorsementPod on Twitter and Instagram, which are social media channels that you can reach us on if you would like to touch base with us and tell us how great we are, or how negative great we are. Just talk to us. We're lonely.
Yeah. I mean, or not.
Or not. Yeah, that's the other option.
I mean, if you can talk at me on Twitter all you want, but... And if you want to do that, that's cool. Just throw it into the ether and not get a reply. That's cool. But you can get me at Cliff and Monkey, or if you want an actual response, at Ponk.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. And if you want to email us and probably get a response, then contact at endorsementpodcast.com.
That's correct.
If you need more than whatever characters are up to on Twitter now.
280, I think. Is that where we're at? Whatever. Who cares? We'd also love it if you'd subscribe, review, rate the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Pod, whatever you use, I don't care. Just tell them that we're great so that people will see us and they can tell us that we're great as well. And it's an endless cascade of positive reinforcement for me personally and I guess Cliff.
Everyone sucks, I don't care.
Nice. That's what the listening audience wants to hear.
If you have low standards, you can't be disappointed.
Yeah, that's how my parents live their lives. For now, I've been Matt.
I've been Cliff.
And as always, we will send you off into the ether by saying our traditional endorsement send-off, which is...
It's pissing me off now that I can't remember what I was going to say.
There it is. Bye.